Thank you, Marcia. As Marcia said, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about food and beverage marketing in Maine high schools. And the title of our project was Examination of a Statewide Law Banning Junk Food and Beverage Marketing in Maine Schools. It was the first statewide law in the nation, we believe. And we were very fortunate to have been supported by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Healthy Eating Research Program. And I, as well, have no financial relationships to disclose. I want to acknowledge our advisory group, which was really instrumental in our work. Anne-Marie Davey, school health coordinator in Freeport, Maine, David Crawford, the director of the Physical Activity and Nutrition Program for the Maine CDC, Jackie Ellis, former director of the Maine's Coordinated School Health Program. We had Gail Lombardi representing the Maine Department of Education, and Lori Cayley, a nutritionist working extensively in this area at the University of Southern Maine Muskie School. So without going into too much of the background, there have fortunately been a lot of not really wonderful presentations at this meeting about food and beverage marketing to children. But we know that labeling and signage at school has been shown to affect students' food choices at school. We also know that children are more vulnerable to marketing than adults for a plethora of reasons. And we also know that school marketing is especially powerful. Children are a captive audience, and we also understand that if it happens at school, it must be okay. At least that's the children's thinking. And I want to give you a little bit of background on our legislation, which the process really began before 2003, but in 2003, the Maine State Legislature passed a resolve to study obesity, which is a bill, and out of that, a commission to study public health evolved, and after 1 year, 28 recommendations, including an advertising ban, were made. Nothing happened for a couple of years, and then in 2005, a coalition called, the Coalition for Smoking or Health, commissioned a public opinion poll which showed 60% support for an advertising ban in schools, public support. In 2006, the same group did focus groups confirming that support. And in 2007, finally, we did pass a ban on advertising in Maine schools. And that legislation was entitled An Act to Protect Children's Health, and it said that brand-specific advertising of food or beverages is prohibited in school buildings or on school grounds except for foods and beverages meeting standards under subsection 2. And the subsection 2 stated that advertising does not include advertising on broadcast media or in print media, such as newspapers or magazines, clothing with brand images worn on school grounds, or advertising on product packages. So I know that sounds like a lot of exceptions, but that's actually just the things that kids would wear to school, students would wear to school, bring in magazines or on newspapers, and product packaging sold in the vending or in other places throughout the school. And the law was based on a nutrition standard, which I think most of you are probably very familiar with, which is the Foods of Minimal Nutritional Value standard. I'm not going to get into this too much, but several years before our marketing ban passed, we passed a rule. We actually did rulemaking in our Department of Education. We called that Chapter 51. It was based on this minimal nutritional value standard. We couldn't sell any foods in public schools in Maine. So our marketing ban was based on the same standard, and it excludes foods which provide less than 5% of one of the 8 specified nutrients, protein, vitamin A, vitamin C, niacin, riboflavin, thiamine, calcium, and iron. Also excluded all candy, and the Chapter 51, which was the law that banned selling these types of items, exempted teachers' lounges, but not the marketing ban. So that's a little bit confusing. And it was confusing to the school administrators as well. So our study aims were to assess compliance with Chapter 156, which is our marketing ban, we had some sub-aims. First, we needed to adapt and improve a food and beverage marketing and schools assessment that was first developed by Samuels and Associates. Thank you, Lisa et al. For that tool. To assess, and then we were going to obviously assess the nature and extent of food and beverage marketing, identify areas of improvement and ways to strengthen existing legislation for limiting such marketing, and then to review findings from other assessments and compare those results to main findings. Types of in-school marketing. Product sales, I've already talked about, this was exempted under our marketing ban. We do have this data, however, we just didn't initially look at it. We will be soon, but I am going to show you the direct advertising and the indirect advertising results of our data. This is product marketing in a vending machine in one of the schools. All the pictures are from the schools that we went into. Direct advertising, for those of you who aren't familiar, are poster signs, vending machine exteriors, that should say in-school television ads such as Channel 1, ads in school newspapers, radio station announcements, public announcements, computer banner ads, etc. And then this is an example of a direct advertising on a vending machine panel. And indirect advertising includes logos, brand names, sports characters, or product names on or in conjunction with other things such as curricula, educational materials, textbook covers, books, notebooks, etc. I don't want to read all of this, but so it's a little bit more insidious. And this is an example of indirect advertising. Our study was cross-sectional. We went to 20 randomly selected Maine high schools. We paid schools $300 each to participate. This was a big deal to our schools, $300. And this got us into the schools. So I'm glad we were able to do that. Two RAs completed food and beverage marketing surveys. And we had one RA who completed the interview with the principal and the food service director in each school. And on the assessment, we noted the location of the marketing, the total number of posters and signs, or in the case of vending, the total number of different products or logos, the actual name of the product or logo, if in the case of posters and signs, if it was present on art, packaging, equipment, or supplies, the number of instances each product or logo was shown, whether it was compliant with our marketing ban, and whether it was used for counter marketing. This is just a picture of some vending machines in our schools, and I wanted to show you that, of course, vending machines have panels on the front and on the sides, and if the marketing, for example, for Gatorade was both on the front and on the side, that would only count as one, because it was one product. So that's how we did that. And then if you can see the buttons, if we had three buttons, for example, for Minute Maid Lemonade, we would count that as another one, so that would be two altogether on a vending machine. And this is a typical poster. This is a Body by Milk poster. This would be one poster and one instance of the logo or brand. If there were several instances, we would count that as multiple instances, but still one poster. So I'm going to just show you our results. I know I need to rush through these, so I apologize for going fast. This is what we found in terms of our location of the posters and signs of all marketing. Most of the marketing, as you can see, was in the cafeteria, next athletics, next the entrance and hallways, and then the teacher's lounge and snack bars, and then we had some other locations throughout the school too. And vending, we looked at separately, we looked at the vending. So vending exterior marketing, again, all marketing, cafeteria, actually most here was in the entrance and hallways where we found most of the vending machines. And then next came teachers' lounges, and after that, cafeteria and athletics. And these are the same data. I apologize, it's a very busy slide, but I wanted to point out that the average number of instances, this shows the location, average number of posters and signs, and the average number of products and logos on vending. So we have a total of approximately 49 instances of food and beverage marketing per high school. And the most 10 most frequent products marketed in the high schools were, number one, Dasani at about 10%, Coke about 9%, Gatorade about 8%, Aquafina about 7%, Vitamin Water about 5%, and so on. But I wanted to show you again these data pointing out in red which of the products were not compliant. And then I also point out in this slide that Coca-Cola owns Dasani, Coke, Vitamin Water, and Odwalla, and Pepsi-Cola owns Gatorade and Aquafina as well. And so overall, 45% of all marketing in the schools was Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. Okay, I'm going to rush through here. Compliant products, pretty much dominated by Gatorade. Compliant products, I'm sorry, the last slide was on posters and signs, and this is vending, and vending pretty much dominated by Dasani and Aquafina, just plain water. These are just some examples. This is interesting because normally we think about Snickers and M&Ms being candy, but you can see the clusters and cookies here are compliant under our Foods of Minimal Nutrition standard and were probably developed in order to fit that standard. Examples of compliant marketing. Just going to run through these really quickly. Body by Milk. This is on a Body by Milk poster used for counter marketing on a vending exterior. And this is location of not compliant marketing posters and signs. So we have here posters and signs mostly in the athletic areas, next cafeteria, then in the teacher's lounge. And then location of not compliant marketing vending exteriors. And this is really interesting that most of this was in the teacher's lounge, next in the entrance and hallway, and then athletics. And I want to point out here that we had an average instance of 12, approximately 12 instances of not compliant marketing per school. 10 most frequent not compliant products marketed in posters and signs was Coke at 58% and Pepsi, and then a slew of other products. The 10 most frequent not compliant products marketed on vending, again, Coke and Pepsi, and then some others. This is a picture of a vending machine in a teacher's lounge, and the product marketing here is legal under Chapter 156, but if you see, and then the Dasani, of course, is legal, but if you see the little law there, I'll show you another picture of this. This is a scrolling red image that says, enjoy an ice-cold Coca-Cola today. That's a little insidious there. That is illegal under our ban. This is looks like it's pretty kosher, but then you've got the little enjoy an ice-cold, you can barely see that over top of where you put the money in. And this is a better picture of that scrolling message. School sign with Pepsi-Cola in the bottom left-hand corner. This was in a snack bar in a school. And this was found, I don't know where, in a teacher's lounge probably. And this is in a school entrance. Here's a little knick-knack on a teacher's desk. Some art. There was a lot of art throughout the schools. And this was, we did count this as marketing, and this is counter marketing. We did count, count this as marketing and counter marketing. Scoreboards, 17 out of 19, only 19 of the schools we walked into had scoreboards. 89% of schools had marketing on the scoreboards, and 63% had not compliant marketing on the scoreboards. And we found 32 altogether in the 20 schools with not compliant marketing. Again, these are the products, and Coke and Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi were the not compliant types of products on these scoreboards. And then I just want to quickly point out that from our interviews, we learned that a lot of marketing in schools was happening in, as reported by school administrators, in yearbooks, scoreboards, and on food or beverage coolers or display cases, meal supplies. I just want to point out here, I'm sorry, I'm going back, the scoreboards, we actually found 89%, and the interviews indicated 55%, and so we were just learned that our interviews probably underestimated some of this. And these are examples of product marketing on equipment and supplies. This was a recycling box. Here are some coolers in an athletic area of a school, and fundraising activities, school discount night. This is what, again, what administrators indicated, so in the interviews. So these are very high numbers. Here, school discount nights, receipt or proof of purchase programs, and very interestingly, there was a lot of this school discount nights at restaurants. It was surprising to me personally. Some of these examples. School administrators basically, only about half of them knew about our policy, and in many cases, both administrators did not know. However, schools were did believe that it was a very important thing to do is to get rid of the marketing in schools. So I'm just, I'm going to skip through these because I know I've gone over time. And I just want to summarize, every school had food and beverage marketing. The mean was about 49 posters or signs. We had about 85% of schools had not compliant marketing. A lot of it was, the vending marketing was plain bottled water. A lot of the not compliant was Coke and Pepsi, most of it. And yearbooks, coolers and equipment, fundraising, and school discount nights were primary venues for this marketing. School administrators feel banning food and beverage marketing in schools is important, but need more information and technical assistance to help them implement the policy. Clearly, there's widespread marketing in Maine schools despite the ban. So, sorry I went over. Thank you.